Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend, Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Great, thanks.
It's good to be back here with you.
Yeah, it's good to be back live studying in the studio. Stephen did a great job last week holding down the fort and keeping things technologically sound while
I was very challenged, I gotta tell you.
While I was sitting under the palm trees in New Orleans. Frankly, I wish I was back there, but that's okay. Pretty soon it'll be warm here too.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, it's good to be back in the studio live and in person, and I can actually look across the table and see Steve and
yeah, you're not a ghost.
That's right, not a ghost. Last week I was just kind of talking into my phone, and yeah. I couldn't tell what Steve was doing, but he did a great job keeping things organized. And we had the last. I need people to organize me, as my wife can tell you. But anyway, we had I think two interesting shows about the resurrection. One about the actual resurrection, and last week we did some interesting thoughts about the resurrection.
Yeah,
and showing that we probably can be pretty certain that it really happened, and that mm-hmm. those guys didn't make up the whole story.
Right,
and we went through a passage in 1 Corinthians where Paul talked about the resurrection and how important that was to the basic faith, and there really was no gospel if there was no resurrection.
Right.
Not essential. To mention, we're still in our sins and
essential to our faith.
Yeah. And if we die in Christ, we'd be lost if there were no resurrection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. And so today we're going to do like a little bit of something else, which most people call the road to Emmaus, which is kind of about the resurrection because it happened the resurrection evening.
It happened right after. Actually, it's a great follow-up to the show previously. Well, the last two shows, because it's right in Luke. Mm-hmm. In chapter 24, right there at chapter 13, or verse 13, right after, you know, Peter gets up, he goes to the tomb, sees the burial clothes, and then he goes home amazed at what had happened.
Yeah.
You know, and he realizes the Lord's risen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so this is an account that's taken place right after that. We don't know exactly, you know,
yeah,
how long after that, but
right.
It's right there in Luke. And, you know, it goes along with the time that Jesus spent on earth
mm-hmm.
and before he ascended to the Father mm-hmm. and before the Holy Spirit came as part of the Father's plan.
Yes.
For as part of the plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think it's good if you read, why don't you read the whole account and then we can kind of go through it.
Okay. From verse 13?
Yeah.
Okay. Now that very day, two of them were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looking downcast. One of them, named Clopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place here in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus the Nazarene, who was a prophet mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures.
Mm. Ooh.
Wow.
Awesome Bible study. Anyway, this is kind of interesting. Here's these two guys walking along this road, and you see from what they say that they have been part of Jesus's group.
Yes.
They're a group. They're in the disciples, and they talk about how they knew him and how the women were part of our group. And so they were people that knew him and had spent time with him and heard him teach, and they had kind of been in the inner circle of people.
Mm-hmm.
And they were walking away from the others. You know, some of the disciples were hiding in the upper room, some were hiding who knows where, but most of them had pretty much scattered. And
right.
It fulfills a prophecy that says, they'll strike the shepherd and the sheep will
scatter. Yeah. Yeah.
And so these guys actually were walking away from Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. They were going to Emmaus, which is about 7 miles away, based on the description that's in the passage there. So we presumed that they were going home, because we find out later they went to one of their houses.
Right.
And they'd had really kind of a bad weekend. They had had a really bad weekend.
To say the least.
Yeah. I mean, they went to Jerusalem for the Passover,
mm-hmm.
the pilgrimage to the city, to the holy city. And, you know, Thursday night, we don't know if they were at the Last Supper, the Seder that Jesus had.
Right.
We don't know if they were there. But anyway, you know, Passover started with a Seder Thursday night. And as things unfolded through Thursday night, a lot of bad stuff was happening, and then mm-hmm. Friday afternoon he died on the cross and got buried
right.
late afternoon, just before sundown on Friday, and they had presumably seen all this stuff happen.
Yeah.
And they're kind of, you get the idea, they're kind of trudging along the road, walking right. home. They're this not is- like skipping and happy, and they're kind of just trudging along the road, and they're tired, and they're confused, and...
And you know, they say it right there in a verse 21, but we were hoping,
yeah,
but we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel.
Yeah. This was their concept of the Messiah. You know, he
yeah.
was going to come, he was going to redeem Israel. He was going to set up the kingdom. He was going to be a powerful ruler. We were finally going to get the kingdom back like David and Solomon had it. Mm-hmm. We were going to get rid of these Romans. We were going to be the predominant nation again on earth. The Messiah was going to take care of all this.
Yeah.
All those disgusting Gentiles would finally see what was going to happen, and this was going to be really good.
Yeah. They really, you know, as we talked, we've talked previously on the show over the last couple of years about how there's many times where you see that the disciples, even though Jesus walked with them and taught them for 3 years before mm-hmm. his death and resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot that they didn't understand that, you know, we've come to understand about the kingdom of God. And just how they, as it was unfolding before them, they didn't understand that this was going to include the Gentiles.
Yes.
You know, and they didn't understand that he had to suffer and die and, yeah. and rise again. And yeah. That his own flesh and blood is going to be the atonement for our sins.
Mm-hmm.
And he is the one... You know, it's interesting. They asked a question. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, he is.
Yeah, as a fact,
you know?
He is. Yes.
But, and they add something interesting is that, you know, but it's now the third day since all this took place.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they say that to him, but yet they didn't believe the account of what the women
right.
saw. And then, you know, that... Peter and John went to the tomb mm-hmm. and found it just as they said. So even though they had that, they're mentioning this to Jesus,
yeah.
but they still didn't believe.
Yeah. Right, right.
Yeah.
They mention it, you know, and even when the women got back and said, hey, he's risen, they kind of thought, oh, come on, what are you girls talking about? You know, this seems like a pretty far-fetched thing. In fact, we talked mm-hmm. about how the Greek word meant it was like a tall tale. It was like a fable.
Right.
It was, but it was pretty hard to believe. And these two... You can imagine their minds are just kind of, they probably haven't slept very much. They were probably scared.
Mm-hmm.
They're confused about what's happened.
Right.
And, they hear this story that he's not in the tomb anymore, that he's risen. And they're thinking, well, I don't know how that could possibly be. Mm-hmm. And they're trudging along as they're on the way home. And
right.
They, all of a sudden, have somebody who joins them while they're walking.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a man that they don't recognize who's right. coming from Jerusalem behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't recognize it as Jesus. So the question is, did they not recognize him in his glorified body like some other people didn't? Or did he kind of restrain them from recognizing him?
Yeah, was that hidden from their eyes?
Yeah, so he could kind of, you know, make the point. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, he says, well, so what are you guys talking about? what's going on? You know, where are you guys going? And, you know, they were sad. You know, says that they were sad. They were like crestfallen, downcast. And, you know, he kind of cares about the fact that they're sad. He says, well, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah.
And when he says, well, you know, we thought this was the Messiah. We thought he was going to redeem Israel, and he died, and now some women said he's raised, and, you know, we just don't know what to think. And, mm-hmm. you know, they're kind of sad because they thought Jesus was the Messiah. He's dead. They say he's raised. We didn't know what this is all about. And they probably were talking to themselves about all the things they had seen since Thursday night.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, he had told them, and we talked about it in the last couple shows, he had told them what was going to happen. He was going to suffer. On the third day, he was going to rise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember the angel said, remember he told you that in Galilee? And I said, right. Oh yeah, now right. I remember.
Exactly, yeah. The angel was right there at the tomb telling the women, you know, don't you remember what he said?
Yeah.
And, you know, the other thing that's interesting is that they point out, after that question that Jesus asked them, are you the only visitor, the only yeah. visitor in Jerusalem that has not heard what happened?
Yeah.
So obviously, by their account in those words, everybody in Jerusalem mm-hmm. knew what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. There wasn't probably one person there that didn't know that there was a crucifixion that took place.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that in itself is pretty important, because as we were talking last week about how, okay, the resurrection, is it real?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think we had made the point, well, you know, the Romans and the religious leaders of the day, they sure did put up a fight if this wasn't real.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's kind of another witness of, you know, are you the only visitor to Jerusalem mm-hmm. that doesn't know what happened?
Yeah.
How could you not know what happened these past days?
Mm-hmm.
You know, almost in disbelief to him.
Yeah.
And then he asked him, well, what sort of things?
Yeah. Yeah. And they were talking about this bitter suffering, which now has passed. I mean, there was this bitter suffering. Yeah. He said the Son of Man is going to be handed over mm-hmm. to wicked men.
Yeah.
He's going to suffer. They're going to put him to death. And then he's going to rise again. Said, you know, he didn't say, remember I told you that in Galilee, but
right.
anyway, he had told them that. So this, you know, that Paul writes later that he suffered this for the joy that was set before him.
Mm-hmm.
And as you pointed out, this was the act of salvation.
Yes.
There's no other act of salvation.
Right.
And, you know, these guys, there's a confusion between, you know, what's the kingdom? Is it Messiah ruling on a throne in Jerusalem and
mm-hmm.
everybody in the world is kind of subjected to him, or is it the salvation that's come from you know, there's confusion here.
Well, yeah, because even later on, as we're going to see, is before Jesus ascends, they ask him again, when are you going to establish the kingdom? Are you now going to restore the kingdom of Israel? And Jesus tells them it's not for you to know that.
Yeah.
So there is a lot of, as you're saying, there is a lot of confusion as to, okay, what is this messianic rule going to look like?
Yeah, yeah.
What is our Messiah going to look like? Well, we thought he was supposed to be this,
right?
But it's this. And you know, it's a good example for us today as we interpret and reflect on the scriptures, is because I know there's times in my own life where something took place, and I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe this will happen next.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of have, you know, sure. we all kind of. You make have,
a, yeah.
you know, premonitions of what we think things are going to be like and stuff like that. And then when it turns out different, we go, oh, geez, that's nothing like that.
Your brain kind of organizes things to try to make sense of what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And like we always say, it's easy for us 2,000 years later to say, how come those guys didn't get it?
Yes, exactly.
When we've heard the story like 2,000 times
mm-hmm.
and we know the story, they're living the story day to day.
Right.
Just and like, it does sound pretty preposterous.
Yeah.
Well, he died, they buried him, and now he's risen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he told us that, but we don't know what that means.
Yeah.
We would never believe such a thing.
I mean, you know, and we talked about it last week. You know, you think about it. They drove nails in his hands and his feet. They thrust the spear in his side.
Yeah. And these guys may have seen that happen.
Yeah, I mean, if you saw that happen, would you ever think that person was going to rise and walk again?
No.
I doubt it.
No.
You know.
And that's why we talked last week about it wasn't a matter of he passed out and then he was kind of revived later.
Right.
Like somebody faints and then a few minutes later they come back to consciousness.
It's a little bit more than a faint.
Yeah, it's a little more than a faint.
Yeah.
So they still don't know who this is, but Jesus being the eternal word, according to the first chapter of John's gospel, he then starts to go through the word, the written word,
yep.
to explain to these guys, okay, let's start at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes through the five books of Moses, he goes through the prophets, and he says, all these things are talking about me. Did you see how all this stuff unfolds? All these things are talking about the Messiah. All these things are going to talk about what's going to happen, what the Messiah is going to be like. These are all prefigures, prefigurements and types of the Messiah.
Right.
And are you guys like starting to get it now? That maybe this is what was supposed to happen to the Messiah, because it's not only did he tell you when we were in Galilee, but this is all written in the scriptures that you guys know.
Yeah.
You guys know these scriptures. And he goes through Moses and the prophets. And, you know, Jesus tells the Pharisees, you look through the scriptures looking for eternal life, and that's good, but the scriptures are all about me.
Mm-hmm.
In Psalm 40, he says, you know, the scrolls, he says through David, the scrolls talk about me.
Yeah.
The whole thing points to him. The whole thing is about him. So he uses this written word to explain to these guys that this was about him.
Right.
And this is why it is important to know what's in the Old Testament, the Tanakh. It is important to study it.
Yes.
It isn't some antiquated thing that, you know, was important 3,000 years ago but isn't important now. Because there's very important, well, first of all, it's the Word of God. And secondly, there's very important prefigurements, shadows, and prophecies about him.
Right.
That are all through it.
And that it somehow doesn't pertain to the New Testament.
Yeah.
Or that it's not a part of, you know, that it has no connection to it.
Yes.
Yeah. Because, I mean, you know, I do hear people say, well, why do I need to know the Old Testament when I have the New Testament?
That's right. We'll just start with Jesus because he was nice.
I've heard that a couple of times. And it's, you know, it's foolish not to know what took place beforehand. Yeah. Why did all this take place?
Exactly.
How does it point to the Messiah?
Exactly.
How does it point to Yeshua? Yeah.
And as it says in Hebrews, these things are types and shadows, and he's the substance.
Yep.
And so all these things were put there to show the sacrifice that he was going to do, the salvation he was going to bring.
Right.
And so Jesus himself tells these guys about it based on scriptures that they already knew.
Yeah. That would have been an awesome Bible study.
Oh, a great teacher.
Is it available on CDs?
No.
Oh, jeez.
Wow, it's a Paul Wilbur break already. Well, anyway, check us out at
Paul Wilbur break.
giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back. We were born on a battlefield. We were born for such a time as this. We were born for a true revival. Time as this. So let the earth
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Stephen and I are in the middle of the passages about the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, and Jesus has done this awesome Bible study, as we were saying before the break.
Yes.
And what happens is their hearts are burning. I mean, they loved this Bible study. Like, who could have taught a better Bible study than Jesus? I mean, they had heard, they had been to a lot of home groups, they had been to a lot of prayer groups, they had been to a lot of Bible studies, and they may have even heard, like, some of these really smart Pharisees, you know, describing something from the scriptures, but there was something different about this.
They got
their hearts were burning.
They got to study the word with the word.
With the word. Yeah, that's right.
Incredible.
That's right. They studied the written word with the eternal word. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and here they were walking with him. And again, like we talked about, this is a human body that's walking with them. It's not a ghost. It's not an apparition. It's a human body that's walking with them. Mm-hmm. I mean, presumably, as their feet were walking on the ground, his feet were stepping in the dirt and making noise. And, and you know, when you study, I'm sure you've all experienced it, when you study scripture and you really get like a deep lesson about something, and you say, wow, you know, you get like this heart, your heart's burning and your mind saying, I want to learn more about this. It can be a very emotionally moving experience. I'm sure you've all had that many times. And they loved this Bible study and they didn't want this to end. Like when they heard some Pharisee droning on about something, they were thinking, oh, when's this guy ever going to be quiet? But they didn't want this Bible study to end. They didn't want this time with him to be over.
Right.
So they said, hey, listen, why don't you just stay with us for a while? Because we don't want this to end. I mean, if you go someplace and you're going to do a one-hour Bible study and at 59 minutes, everybody's all excited. Wait, don't stop now. We want to, what comes next?
Yeah.
And that's how these guys were.
Yeah. And, you know, you're bringing up a good point, is that they, you know, he gave them the impression that he was going to go on further, continue walking. And they say, but they urged him.
Yeah.
Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if there wasn't anything that was making their hearts just burn with the fire of the Lord, they wouldn't have had that reaction.
That's for sure.
And I know that I can attest to that when the Lord came into my life and excuse me, when the Lord came into my life and, you know, he renewed me, there was a deep desire to study the word, to the word,
exactly.
You wanted to just learn and as much as you could. You wanted to read and read and read.
Exactly.
And it's just an awesome experience that when that happens, the Lord just shows you so much about who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And you would read a passage of scripture and you're like, well, I never, yeah. It's like, wow, that's this, or that is, you know, this is, the Lord starts connecting all these things for you.
Yeah.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit.
That's right. The connections. That's what's the really powerful thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus,
I'm a little choked up right now.
I know,
now
you're
kind of
choked up. Yeah. But, and you see what's going on in this Bible study is he's making the connections. Because we don't know exactly what he said, but it says he went through Moses and the prophets. Now, that would have taken a while. I mean, these guys were walking 7 miles. Average person walks about 3 miles an hour. So it was at least a couple of hours, maybe a little bit more, because they were walking kind of slow. Then when he started talking, they were probably walking slow going, wow, I never thought of that.
Yeah.
So he had time. He may have had a couple of hours to kind of summarize the whole Tanakh of how it pertained to him. And you're right. You know, when I first became a believer, I didn't know anything that was in the Bible except kind of the highlights of historical things.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so eager to learn it.
Yeah.
That the first thing I did, and some, I tell people this now and we kind of laugh about it, was I had a study of the Old Testament that was geared to sixth graders. And that's what I started with. But that was good for me because I didn't know anything. So as I was reading through the scripture and I was reading this, you know, sixth grade commentary, I was already going, wow, I never thought of that. That's pretty neat.
Well, you know, you bring up an interesting point.
I don't do sixth grade stuff anymore, but.
Seventh?
Yeah.
Well, no, you bring up an interesting point because look what happened when the Holy Spirit took a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
You were humble enough to start at that level.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And know that you didn't, you know, because most people in their flesh, if I was in my flesh, I wouldn't read a sixth grade commentary. I would say, no, I want something more advanced than that.
I want something from the seminary.
Exactly. And that's how we are as human beings. We want to do that.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's right. Yeah, that's awesome. Exactly right. And, you know, it was a good basis because it kind of built a foundation.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you read, you know, more complicated things, you build on that.
Right.
And these two guys, they had this amazing lesson in the 2 hours or so that they were walking.
Yeah.
And they probably heard things they had never thought about before.
Yeah.
They had heard these readings, the parashas, every Shabbat morning. They had heard the Haftorah readings every Shabbat morning. And then all of a sudden, and you use the word connections, and that's my favorite word. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit starts connecting all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go, oh, now I get it. Now I get why that's in the scriptures. So it was, they didn't want this to end.
Right.
So, you know, they go into the house and they go, oh, come on, why don't you stay? We'll have something to eat. You know, let me see what I got in the fridge and we'll have something to eat. I'll make some coffee and we'll kind of hang out. And because they didn't want him to leave.
Right.
And, you know, they hadn't been home for a while because they had been in Jerusalem at least since Thursday.
Right.
Maybe before, who knows? They went for the Passover. And, you know, the guy whose house it was, he wasn't concerned about he had to clean the house because Jesus was there or, you know, he had to like straighten out some stuff or see what was going on in the kitchen. They just wanted to continue with this.
Yeah.
And interesting that Jesus goes and he takes a seat at the table.
Mm-hmm.
You know, very reminiscent of what had just happened Thursday night.
Right.
Which we call Thursday night, which was their Friday, early Friday, the Last Supper with Jesus' last Seder while he was physically on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Is, you know, you kind of get this mental picture that this was very reminiscent of that. He sat down at the table just with these two guys.
Yeah.
And he took the bread and he broke it, just like at the Last Supper. You know, they met him at a table. They met him at the table.
Right.
And maybe they had been at the Last Supper. We don't know. But they meet the bread of life at a table and have communion with him. Now, see, to us, these are things, terms that we're familiar with.
Yeah.
For them, they weren't thinking of terms of, well, he's the bread of life and this bread is him and we're sitting at the table, we're meeting him at the table. But they were blown away by this.
And as we said earlier, it's unfolding right before their eyes.
Yes.
You know, they're living it.
Yes.
As it's happening.
Yes.
And we all know that, you know, when you're living something and it's happening right here and now, as we do every day, it's obviously different because you don't have the time of reflection upon it. You know, you don't have the time to reflect upon.
Oh yeah, it's happening.
Everything that's happening right every second of as it passes. So yeah, they're sitting. He sits down at table with them, takes a bread, says the blessing, breaks it, and gives it to them, and then their eyes are open.
Right,
and they recognize him,
right,
the Lord.
Yeah, in the bread, in the breaking of the bread,
in the breaking of the bread.
Mm-hmm. And here it is. You know that maybe they were thinking back. Now they had heard him say a lot of things about bread. He was born in Bethlehem, that means house of bread.
Mm-hmm.
Bethlehem is house of bread.
Right.
He's born in a place called house of bread.
Yeah,
I mean that's prophetic in itself. You know, the prophet Micah says he's going to be born in a place called house of bread.
Right.
And then he says, I'm the bread come down from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
If you eat this bread, you'll live. You know, your ancestors ate manna in the desert and they died, but if you eat this bread, you're going to live. And he's got presumably he has a matzah in his hand because
mm-hmm.
this is still the Feast of Unleavened Bread going on. They wouldn't have had leaven in the house.
Right.
So, you know, he has a matzah and Stephen and I have been to a few Messianic Seders a couple of weeks ago, and
yes.
We ate plenty of matzah, and I happen to like eating matzah. But you know, he had a piece of unleavened bread in his hand, and when he broke the bread, that's when they recognized him.
And, you know, like you said, he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Yeah.
Wasn't he really made known to the disciples in a new way in the breaking of the bread at the Last Supper?
Amen.
Because this is, he ratified the new covenant.
That's right. He says, this is it. The new covenant's starting now.
Yeah. So in a way, he really was made known to them as to who he really was.
Yes, exactly.
In that Seder.
Exactly. And I think this description here is so telling about the importance of the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever you call it in your denomination, because he's recognized when the bread's broken.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, this is my body that's going to be broken for you.
Right.
And then he breaks it.
Right.
And then he vanishes from their sight.
Yeah.
Oof. So then when they realize, wow, wait a minute, we just walked 7 miles with Jesus and he gave us this Bible study and then he broke the bread. It doesn't say if they ate any of it, but then he broke the bread and then we realized who he was, and weren't our hearts really burning as he explained the word? And it was like a fire.
Yeah.
They were so excited they couldn't rest. And what happens next, you know, you can read a little about what's going to happen next, and maybe we can talk about it a little bit. When you have an experience like that with the Lord, you want to share it with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have an awesome experience, you don't say, wow, that was an awesome experience. I think I'll see what's on TV now, and then I'll hit the sack, or, you know, I think I'll get the coffee ready to make for tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
It's, they're, like, so excited, they can't rest, they can't sit still. They want to share this experience that they had. So they run all the way back to Jerusalem. I mean, they had kind of trudged away from Jerusalem, probably over 3 hours, but then they ran back. We don't know how old these guys were, but they ran back.
Well, you know, it's a little funny because they just walked all this way from Jerusalem to Emmaus, had this awesome Bible study. They sit down and Jesus breaks bread at their table, and now they're running back to Jerusalem.
That's right. Yeah. And maybe, it doesn't say what they're saying, but maybe it's like, we better go back and tell Peter and those guys. Maybe Peter doesn't even know this has happened. Yeah. So why don't you read that, what comes after that about them going back to Jerusalem? That's pretty good.
I'll read from verse 31 there. So with that, their eyes were opened and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon. Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread.
Hmm. Now read after.
Keep on going?
Yeah.
Okay. While they were still speaking about this, he stood in their midst and said to them, peace be with you. But they were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. Then he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do questions arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, because a ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you can see I have. And as he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they were still incredulous for joy and were amazed, he asked them, have you anything here to eat? Then they gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them.
Hmm. Wow.
Wow.
So they run all the way back. They go, I guess, to the upper room. They go where Peter and the guys are. They obviously know where they are because they go right to it. Mm-hmm. And they want to share this fact that the Lord is risen.
Yeah.
They walk in and say, hey, they ran in all excited. They just ran 7 miles. So it took a while to catch their breath. I mean, unless they were, you know, 18 years old, which they probably weren't. But 7 miles was a pretty long run for anybody. Yeah. You know, they want to share this experience. They say, you know, the Lord's risen. He did this Bible study. We came to our house. He came to the house. He broke the bread. We recognized him. You know, he tells them about it. And they already know. They've already heard that he's risen. Peter and John already believe that he's risen.
Mm-hmm.
So these two guys come in and tell their story. These guys probably tell them the story of what happened that morning, because now it's evening. So it's actually Monday now, but what happens Sunday morning. So each group, the two groups tell each other what their experience was with this resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all this buzz going on, and then all of a sudden Jesus is there in their midst, and he says, shalom. He says, peace. Mm-hmm. You know, shalom is a cool word. Everybody knows. That's one word of Hebrew everybody knows.
Yeah.
But shalom is more than just like peace. It's like an overwhelming kind of a peace. It's, you know, Jesus, Yeshua is the true shalom.
Yeah.
I mean, no one, he gives peace like the world can't give peace. He said,
exactly.
I give peace like the world can't give peace. So when he comes in the room and says, peace, you know, he's the true shalom. And what happens? Ah, it's a ghost. It's, what is this? It, you know, the room's locked up and he's there. Now, the two guys from the road to Emmaus are in the room. So they just experienced him and they go, ah, it's a ghost. They already forgot. The same people, you know, human weakness. And then to prove that it's really him and it's really flesh, he says, look, come and touch me. I have flesh and bone. And by the way, you got anything to eat?
Yeah.
And they get this piece of fish from who knows where. I mean, no refrigerator. I don't think I would have eaten it. But anyway, so he takes it, but it's so symbolic that he takes the fish and he eats it because he proves that he's a human body. A spirit, you know, is not going to take a piece of fish and eat it. Yeah. So he's a physical human body. And he says, you know, come and touch it. Come and see that I have flesh and bones.
Mm-hmm.
And they even see his wounds, which are not very old, you know, not even 72 hours old, but this is a glorified body, but his wounds are still there.
Yeah.
And then later he's going to have Thomas, you know, look at his wounds. And presumably the glorified body we're going to see in heaven, that when we see Jesus, he's still got the wounds in his hands and in his feet and on his side, in his side. So he says, come and feel this, because, you know, a glorified body is not going to have blood. But he's got flesh and bone. His blood's all been gone. So that's pretty neat. So this whole bunch of guys, after they yell, ag, it's a ghost, and they get scared. Then he eats a piece of fish. Then why don't you read about what he does next?
So they gave him a piece of baked fish. He took it and ate it in front of them. He said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and in the prophets and psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. Mm.
So, after the being scared, after the, oh, it's a ghost, after eating the fish, he does another Bible study.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, we'll get to that in a minute. This is an awesome song. Oh. Anyway, we're going to hear this song during the break. Remember, giftofgraceministries.org, where you can hear the radio shows archived and find a lot of other stuff. And you can also find us on Facebook. We'll be right back.
There is a sound. There is a cry from the depths of our hearts. Heaven come down. Will not be silenced, can't be contained. The cry of a people, a priesthood, a nation called by your name. Out of the darkness, redeemed from the night, bathed in his glory, reflecting his light. reflecting your light.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last segment already.
It goes fast.
Man. Yeah, so do the, Steve, why don't you say that again? We were talking about something during the break. Why don't you, that in that passage there about forgiveness of sins,
yeah.
That was very powerful.
You know, in the passage there, beginning at verse 46 in Luke 24, you know, Jesus is telling them that it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day that he would rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in the name of Jesus to all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem.
Mm.
And, you know, we talk a lot about the Gospels. We talk a lot about the Bible.
Yeah.
And we talk a lot about a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, churches can be talking about a lot of things.
Yeah.
But the essential element that I think sometimes we overlook is that his death was for our sins, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins is in his name.
Amen.
You know, that's the good news of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Your sins, your debt is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
Your sin is forgiven.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been reconciled back to the Father.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for you as a believer, as a child of God?
And he has done that for you.
And he's done that. He's done that for you. He's done that for me. He's done that for everybody who's listening.
Mm-hmm.
He's done that for people who aren't even listening.
Yeah.
And he's done that for people who even deny him.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. And it's going to be preached from Jerusalem. You know, he tells them, stay in Jerusalem until the Spirit comes. You know, in Isaiah 2, it talks about how the word's going to go forth from Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
Everything starts in Jerusalem and goes forward. It's going to go to the whole world. It's going to include us, defiled Gentiles and everything. But it's going to start in Jerusalem and go forward. And he explains it again, the eternal word, doing another study of the written word. This time he does Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms, and says, guess what? It's all about me. So don't you remember that? Haven't you studied that? It's all about me.
Yeah.
And their eyes open up. Because the Holy Spirit wrote the scriptures, you know, he breathes it out.
Mm-hmm.
As it says in 2 Timothy, breathes it out. It's theonoustos, God breathes. And the word that the Spirit wrote all of a sudden opens these guys' eyes. And they see what came before him.
Yeah.
They probably remembered the stuff that he said.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they understood the scriptures. They understood how he was tied into this.
Mm-hmm.
And this is even, you know, this is before Pentecost. I mean, it's really going to get blown open when they get to Pentecost. But at this point, they are totally different again than they were a half hour before he came.
Yeah.
And they know now that he's the fulfillment of all these scriptures.
Yeah. You know, as you're saying that, at each turn, you know, Jesus appears to them once, he appears to them twice. So at each one of these encounters, they're recognizing and realizing more and more and more about what he taught them.
Yeah.
You know, he taught them for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's teaching them. He's there teaching them, this is what I taught you.
Yeah.
And now they're getting it.
Yeah.
Now they're starting to get it.
Yes.
Now they start to recognize it.
And you probably have heard this, but you know, I tell people to say, well, I have such a hard time understanding what's in the Bible. I read it and I don't know. But when you keep in mind that the Holy Spirit wrote it, you ask him to explain to you what it is that you're reading.
Yeah.
He's going to help you out. He's not going to keep it a mystery.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. You know, you bring up a good point that, you know, if we pray, if we're reading the scriptures and we're, you know, it's dry.
Yeah.
We're just not getting it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask the Holy Spirit for help with it.
Yeah.
You know, Lord, help me understand this by the power of your Spirit, because,
Yeah.
I want to know.
Yeah.
You know, I want to know your truth.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. Do we want to know God's truth? You know, Jesus came that there's an, he is the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. God's word is absolute truth.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of relativism in our culture today where we want to make up, you know, people want to make up their own truth.
We have moral relativism. We have spiritual relativism. We have theological relativism.
We have isms.
Everything's the same. Everything's equal.
Yeah. So everybody wants to make up their own truth.
Right.
Pilate asked the question, sure. What is truth?
Right.
And I think a lot of people in our culture today ask that same question. Well, what is truth?
Yeah.
Truth is the word of God.
Amen.
Because the word of God sets you free.
Yeah. Amen. You know, and he tells him that the word's going to go forth from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
And it's going to even be in Independence, Ohio. It's even going to be in Youngstown.
In Youngstown?
Yeah. It's even going to be in...
I got to get back there.
It's even going to be in California. It's going to be in places that are far removed from Jerusalem.
Yeah.
It's going to be in places far removed from where he was walking around in Galilee.
Yeah.
And it's going to be heard by people who don't know anything about Jerusalem and Galilee, but they're going to come to believe that he's the Messiah, the Jewish Messiah, and he's also their Messiah. And that, as you said, the eternal truth of this thing is that he is the salvation and that there is no other salvation.
Right. Right.
And when we encounter people in our culture today, that's a very radical thing to tell somebody that Jesus is the only way to salvation, because you know what you're going to hear.
Oh, yeah.
What? Who are you to say? Come on.
Yeah.
You're so narrow-minded. Come on. God's nice. Haven't you heard God's nice? And it's, you know, and it's, like you say, we have the good news.
Mm-hmm.
We have this message of salvation.
We have the water.
That's right.
You know?
That's right. People are dying of thirst. We have the water.
Yeah. So
the building's on fire. We know where the exit is.
They might not want to take a drink of the water, but at least you got to share it with them.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And this, I think this is another good example of the scripture being used so they understand where they are now.
Yeah.
And, you know, for those of you listening, I think it's important for us to say this to you, because you're hearing all kinds of messages from the world, and the world is telling you, oh, come on, you can't really take that stuff seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on, this is 2013.
Yeah.
People don't think like that anymore. Come on.
Yeah.
You know, I heard a thing on CNN yesterday. They were talking about the Catholic Church, and they were talking about the new pope, and the guy says, well, maybe now, with this new pope, the church will finally kind of get with it and, you know, kind of come into modern times and, you know, kind of stop thinking about all this old stuff. And this is kind of how people present it now.
Yeah.
When are they going to get over all that old stuff and get with it?
Yeah. And I heard something the other day on one of the cable stations, and they were trying to combat an argument with secular wisdom.
Yeah. Yeah, and that doesn't work.
Bad idea.
Yeah. Wow, it's the end of the show already.
Already. Wow.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we will be back here again next week on The Gift of Grace. Have an awesome week, everyone. God bless you. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.